It is a pleasure to see all of you back again this evening. We're going to begin tonight by looking at a trifecta of biblical passages, one after the other after the other, which are connected, and I think we'll make the point in just a moment about how. But for the moment, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. The wise man Solomon says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." And now we move from here to the New Testament, to a passage written by the inspired Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians. So we find ourselves in the book of Philippians in chapter 3, where Paul begins at the 12th verse by saying this. Philippians 3, beginning at verse number 12. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And then for now, one last, we turn our attention to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter and the last verse, verse number 18. Where Paul says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Three passages on much the same subject from three different vantage points. The first one, it almost goes without saying, in that it speaks of that which we have witnessed all through our lives to this point, and that is the fact that there are various seasons to life. Times when some things are appropriate and other times when those same things are less appropriate. Times when some things happen and sometimes when opposite things seem to happen. And just as these events change throughout a lifetime, seasons of these events change over the course of a lifetime. That's just a philosophical view that if you've lived long, you have no doubt it's true. You have no argument with its truth. But then within those seasons, we move to that second passage in Philippians, when Paul makes it very clear that he's not where he intends to be. "I've not yet apprehended." He's still a work in progress, as it were. One thing he has in mind, he's leaving the past things he might glory in, be proud of, be boastful concerning, he's leaving that behind him. And that'll back you up to the first of that third chapter of Philippians. And leaving that behind then and holding on to Christ, as he's mentioned already, he is going to move forward toward that prize, that goal, that wonderful life ahead of him in Christ Jesus. And so, yes, we have seasons of life, as the wise man tells us, but through these seasons, we just move in one direction. He says, I press forward, I press toward, I'm moving ahead. Now, you can't move backward, you can't regress and live what you've already lived, you can't turn the pages back and relive what you've already gone through. You can only live life in one direction. And all the way through, unless you're ending life, you have to admit, as Paul did, I'm not there yet. I'm a work in progress. I've not yet apprehended. But then that last passage in 2 Corinthians 3, which gives us a wonderful view of what the Christian life is really all about within these seasons of time we experience. Realizing none of us have already arrived, we're not there yet, we're works in progress. We have an opportunity day by day to look within the mirror, the glass of the Word of God, and we see there the image of someone much greater, much mightier, much more noble than we'll ever be, Jesus Christ. And we're transfixed by that image so much that we continually gaze at it. And we find ourselves, as we gaze at that image of Christ as revealed in the Word, that interestingly enough, wonderfully enough, as time goes on, we begin looking like the very image we're looking at. We're transformed, as Paul says, into that same image by the glory of the Lord. We become like Jesus. And so, yes, we're in these seasons. We haven't arrived yet. We're works in progress. But every day we're making progress, hopefully, and become more like Jesus than we were in the days before. Now, if you'll give me just a very few minutes, I'd like to take what seems to be a path off the subject that has nothing to do with this, and I think I can bring us back, if you'll indulge me for just a moment. I was looking through some old papers, searching for something else a few days ago, and I ran across an interesting article. It doesn't take long to read it. And as I read, you'll say, this has nothing to do with our subject. And you'll be right, but indulge me as I say. As I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. From Luke 11, 9 and 10. The article continues, here we find not only a fact of life, but a spiritual truth. Since the beginning of time, man has been seeking and seeking until he finally discovers the object of his search. At first, he sought the basic things in life, such as food, clothing, and shelter. Man today is still seeking and finding. The things which only a few years ago seemed impossible are now a reality because of diligent search. The pattern remains the same. Men see a need, they seek for an answer, and ultimately they find it. More important than physical needs, Christians should be seeking their spiritual needs. Now, Paul tells us in Colossians 3 and verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Some of us get sidetracked and search for the evil, corrupt, and vain things of the world. But Christ said in Luke 12 and 31, rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Man finds what he looks for, whether it be good or bad. Christians sometimes seek for spiritual blessings in the wrong way. Simon the sorcerer tried to buy the power of God with money. Peter quickly rebuked him and he asked for prayers, Acts chapter 8. The same thing can happen today. We try to obtain peace and salvation in our own way. We should look to God for our blessings. We are told in Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We must seek through Christ. He promised in John 15:16, Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. If we as Christians will seek the right things in the right way, inspiration assures us that they will be found. Now, oddly enough, I didn't read that to read that. I read that to read the postscript to that. The postscript to that article is this. It says, the foregoing is not an article of recent date, but was written in the year 1972. In fact, it was the first attempt for this writer. A youth at age 14 knows but little. But one at the age of 19, still knowing little, has learned a little bit more, and hopefully is advancing somewhat. And I found it fascinating because the article was mine, and the postscript was mine. And it's not so much the article, I have not much to say about it, but it was intriguing to me that 5 years later I reflected, and I can imagine what was going through my mind. That ignoramus at 14 didn't know what he was talking about, but now I'm 19. And I look back at that now, and I'm somewhat embarrassed by even making the reference to the 19 as being so much older than 14. Because so much time has passed from then till now. And at the time, I kind of see my point. At 14, one hadn't even gotten his driver's license. But now at 19, I was a young married man with a child, working as a full-time preacher at the Douglas, Kansas congregation. In fact, this is a bulletin from 1976 from the Douglas, Kansas congregation. And yet, looking back on it, so much time has passed from then till now that I'd like to think I've learned a lot more, but I think I have more questions and answers after all these years. I know I think what's most important, but I realize this, perhaps something I didn't realize so much then, is that life has its seasons. I was in the same season in 14 and 19, basically. But also that we're not there yet. Now, I'll tell you, based on the difference in 14 and 19, it seemed like I was there when I was 19, but I wasn't nearly there. And I wasn't there at 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or nearly 70. I've realized, no, I'm not there. Not even close to there, wherever there is in terms of growth and development and maturity. As we just read, we're all works in progress. And let's take a break from this for a moment and sing together 565, because I think the song suggests the very idea we're doing our best to express at the moment. 565, sweeter as the years go by. And as we think of this and the song that we're about to sing, I think all of you can remember times in your life, kind of like the one I just referenced. It's interesting that at 19, I was reflecting back on those years long, long, long ago when I was 14. But when you think back to the time when you were 14 or 19, most of you say to yourself, that was a long time ago. A lot's changed since then. The world is different than it was then. We have so much more now than we didn't have then. We have a lot of problems now we weren't facing then. But also our lives have had so many turns, ups and downs and hills and valleys that we never could have seen coming then, that we now have experienced now. And if somebody had read us from Ecclesiastes 3 then, we'd say, well, what does that have to do with me? But now looking back on a lifetime, we say that's what life's about, the seasons of change that come and go. And yes, what matters is being right before God and bending our will to His and realizing that if we do His will as best we can, as the years go by, and here's our song, as the years go by, they get sweeter and sweeter. I would like to think I've learned something since then, but I do know one thing. My faith is stronger than it was then. My understanding and appreciation of God's love for me is stronger now than it was then. And my longing for heaven is much stronger now than it was then. And all of that's not because of my intellect. It's because in the passage of time and experience and understanding, I, like so many of you, have come to realize what really matters and what things don't really matter at all. The things that matter can grow sweeter as the years go by. Let's sing 565. Of Jesus' love that sought me when I was lost in sin, of wondrous grace that brought me back to His fold again, of heights and depths of mercy far deeper than the sea and higher than the heavens, my theme shall ever be. Sweeter as the years go by, sweeter as the years go by, richer, fuller, deeper, Jesus' love is sweeter, sweeter as the years go by. He trod in old Judea, life's pathway long ago. The people thronged about Him, His saving grace to know. He healed the brokenhearted and caused the blind to see. And still His great heart yearneth in love for even me. Sweeter as the years go by, sweeter as the years go by, richer, fuller, deeper, Jesus' love is sweeter, sweeter as the years go by. 'Twas wondrous love which led Him for us to suffer loss, to bear without a murmur the anguish of the cross. With saints redeemed in glory, let us our voices raise, till heaven and earth re-echo with our Redeemer's praise. Sweeter as the years go by, as the years go by, richer, fuller, deeper, Jesus' love is sweeter, sweeter as the years go by. And as we consider that, how as we go through life seasons and move from hill to valley, from valley to hill, the turns and the twists of a normal life, I'm most encouraged by what Paul writes, as we read a moment ago, in the last of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Of course, our goal in this life is to go into the next one. Our goal for here is to be in the hereafter. Our goal for earth is to live in heaven. But while here, our goal is every day as Christians to live up to our name and to be more and more like Jesus. And what Paul tells us in that verse we just read a moment ago is that as we spend our life hopefully focused on Him, things that mattered to Him and still do, we find ourselves over the years and through the seasons not staying stagnant, hopefully not regressing, but growing. And growing in a way to be seen by others and seen of the Lord and even seen of ourselves as being more like Jesus. We'll never be there fully. But hopefully after the seasons come and go and we look back, we realize some progress has been made. Not there yet, but every day a little closer to what Jesus would want, a little closer to how Jesus lived, a little closer to how Jesus thought, a little closer to living up to the name Christian, which we proudly wear. One last song, 613. 613. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth and move can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory your enraptured soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. And before you close your books, look at verse number 2. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. You know, when you think back all those years ago, you're probably like I am. There have been good friends who are with me still after all that time. A family who I love so dearly. Many have been lost along the way, and some have been so very disappointing to me. Some have lost their faith. Some have turned from truth. And it's a frustration. But the point of the song we just sang is this. As these seasons come and go with the good times and bad and the joys and the disappointments, as the song we just sang says, we have one that will not leave us. We have one whose hand we can closely cling to regardless in every season. And that's true. You think back to the length and breadth, width and depth of your Christian life, and one who's been with you since the very beginning is the Lord. And others may have disappointed you, Others may have become your enemies who were one time your friends. But the Lord has been constant and steady all the way through every day. What better life to live than one holding to His hand and becoming day by day more like His Son? If you're here tonight and outside of Christ or unfaithful to Him as a Christian and need to come make things right, there's no better time than now to make things right. If you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.